You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommer, is our producer and engineer. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Tuesday, September 30th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along, everybody, from the world headquarters in downtown Madison, intersection of State and Fairchild. 30 days have September. That's the rhyme you have to remember. Like, how many days are 30 days have September, April, June, and November? All the rest have 31, except February, which has 28 or 29 in the leap year. Welcome to the Americanization of a calendar, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to have you along on a Tuesday. Zommers, how are you?
Doing well. Glad to be here.
Yes, metaphorically speaking.
Yes.
We're a big believer in transparency on this show, and in all transparency, we recorded this yesterday on Monday because I am a rare day off as dad had having a little bit of a minor oral procedure, as they say. So I'm in Shawano helping out my stepmom and stepbrother get my dad to and fro to the beautiful Green Bay Medical Center. I think that's where he's having it done. Or maybe we're just at Lambeau Field trying to get cheap tickets for the rest of the Packers season. I'm not sure. No, we're doing a little medical thing and everything, nothing major. We'll be back with a live show tomorrow on Wednesday and Thursday, live from Shawano, Wisconsin. So look forward to that in nervous anticipation. But we have new content, not a rerun on today's show because, you know, we're in the book. It's the big sweeps. It's the rating sweeps. And so you got fresh new content. As Lamar Alexander once said, fresh new conservative ideas. No, not so conservative, but fresh new ideas. So coming up later on the show, in hour number two, or later on, I guess this hour, we have Sean Fetteplace, National Campaign Director for Main Street Action, on the budget reconciliation. And now we don't know at the time of this recording, the day prior, government could be shut down tighter than an El Debaran shell mouth today, or maybe somehow they found a way to work around it. You know, at the time of this recording, 24 hours before, we're not exactly sure. My guess is, if I were a betting man, and I'm not, that the government is shut down. So Sean Fetteplace, great guy, by the way, Sean. Here's the thing about Sean Fetteplace. He understands real world Wisconsin. He understands that Wisconsin is unique in that it has some very urban areas like Milwaukee and Madison and some very rural areas like where I'm from, Richland Center or Butternut, Wisconsin or Amory. And we all try to live here together. And so you can't always explain things in a way that makes sense to people on the Isthmus of Madison. Not that there's anything wrong with that, as Jerry Seinfeld once said, but the way that people see things through their lens on the Isthmus of Madison is not always the way that people see it in other parts of the state. But here's the thing. There are some things such as healthcare. As someone who, and we'll talk about this later today on the show, as someone who spent time on Badger Care when I had no insurance, I was a small business person, went through periods of my life where I've had no healthcare. You roll the dice. Hope you don't break a leg, have a heart attack, whatever. But Sean's going to be here from Main Street Action and lay out for us, not yelling, not screaming, but very factually, hey, if the government, federal government cannot, in particular Republicans, by the way, because they control both houses of Congress and the executive branch, and for all intent and purposes, the judicial branch as well, that if the Republicans wanted to get something passed, they would. That's just the reality. But clearly they don't. I mean, Donald Trump has said before, he came out publicly while Joe Biden was the president and said, I am responsible for killing the bipartisan immigration deal. He said, and he wasn't even president then, right? So if Donald Trump has the ability to control what Congress passes and doesn't pass when he's out of office, think how powerful he must be in his own party, especially when he is president of the United States. So if Trump really wanted the government to continue to be open, he would demand from his fellow Republicans in Congress, look, this is what you're going to do. And if you don't, I'm going to primary you and take you out, like he did on immigration. But so far, as of this recording yesterday at 11:44 a.m., he has not done that. Maybe by today. And would that be something if all this is for naught? But that's speaking of gambling and rolling the dice, when you do these things this way, that's just the way it goes. Regardless, I think it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. Sean's going to be here with, again, regardless whether the government's open or closed, really good information. Also, an update on many of their members of the Main Street Alliance. He's here today in his more political role as National Campaigns Director of the Main Street Action Group. And then also today in the show, and by the way, I'm not exactly sure who's going to be in hour one, hour two. We've got Alex from the Conservation Congress folks on the Nelson Knowles Stewardship Fund. So that'll be great because, again, Nelson Knowles Stewardship Fund, a bipartisan piece of legislation that has been on for 2 decades, did not get included in the bipartisan state budget between the Republican legislature and Democratic Governor Tony Evers. And so Conservation Congress folks and others are working to try to get this passed as a separate piece of legislation. So we'll talk about that on this show as well. And have no fear, by the way, even though we are coming to you tape delayed, as they say, we'll have a word for you today for the green and gold text to win contest. That is in hour number two. Fabulous cash and prizes coming your way if the price is right in the multi-state green and gold text to win contest. Did I do that right?
Yes. Yeah, we're good.
Very good. They've cracked down, by the way, this time around. The lawyers have gotten serious.
Look, we're in multiple states, so we got to be careful.
Right. There was a lack of appreciation for my enthusiasm and sense of humor. So I've been told I have to play it straight, which is particularly hard for me.
But, you know, we all do our best.
The green and gold text to win multi-state contest coming up in hour number two. No jokes, just facts. All right. Also, this half hour, now before we get to our interview, brand new interviews, by the way. Don't go anywhere. Brand new content. I want to talk about the Brewers a little bit, because who's hotter than the Brewers? And people are getting snarky. What's up with the Brewers fans being? I had somebody on follows me on Twitter, and I made a comment about the Packers, the sorry Packers. I shouldn't say that. I was just, the tie on Sunday night got to me. And I tweeted something out like, you know, a tie, really? Thank God we have the Brewers. And somebody said, well, you must not have been watching the Brewers lately. And I'm like, actually, yes, today. This is on Sunday. I said, yes, today I have. 97 wins, franchise record. Number one seed in the playoffs. Best record in baseball. Best record in the National League. A group of, as Pat Murphy has called them, average Joes, coming together around friendship and the love of the game when nobody thought they could even win the Central Division in the National League, somehow finished as the number one team. Now, look, I get it. They're a little banged up health-wise, particularly the pitching. And after they sewed up the postseason, sewed up the bye, look, I mean, I can't imagine 162 games You're physically beat up. You're probably a little mentally beat up. And then to try to, and they were facing the Reds. They, by the way, they won the last game of the season, the Brewers did. But they were facing the Reds, who were fighting for their playoff lives against the Brewers. Reds won the first two. Brewers won the last one. So I'm not so hot on people being tough on the Brewers right now. They got a week. They got a week to recover because they got the bye. They'll face the winner of the Padres and the Cubs in the wild card this week. Gonna be watching that. That's, boy, I don't know. Some people are saying better to face the Cubs because they're not as a talented team. But then one of my buddies, Rob, reminded me, well, inevitably, it's gonna be like Wrigley North on some of these. I mean, Cubs fans are gonna find a way to sneak in. And you're gonna have a lot of Cubs, probably fewer Padres fans in terms of, you know, just the atmosphere. But the Padres are probably, on paper, the better team. Some people are picking the Padres to get to the World Series. Not me. But many people are saying. Some people are saying. So I don't know. I don't know who's the better team to face. But I don't think the Brewers are necessarily thinking about that. So because we can't take calls today, we'll be back with a live show tomorrow. I wanted to talk a little bit about great article by J.R. Radcliffe in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel here yesterday. Headline, when do the Brewers need to submit their playoff roster? Here's what you need to know. And we used to say that a lot around here. Here's what you need to know. Not so much anymore, but we used to. Radcliffe says we have a guess for which players the Milwaukee Brewers will include on their 2025 playoff roster when the National League Division Series gets going October 4th in Milwaukee. But we don't know the opportunity yet, or the opponent yet, and the Brewers have time to hash out their 26-man list. Here's what to know about the deadline and rules for the playoff roster. Rosters are due the morning of their first playoff game, so they don't technically need to make that final call until October 4th. Now, I think this is great because it gives Murphy and the entire organization time to look at who's really healthy. Maybe some of the pitching staff, have them throw a little bit. Take a look at them physically. How are they doing? Next one, who's eligible to be on the 26-man playoff roster? Well, any player on the 40-man roster or the 60-day injured list as of noon today. Well, no, I'm sorry. As of noon, September 1st. Pardon me, I misread that. So I have to go back a month. As of noon, September 1st, is eligible for the postseason. That would include players who finished this season with a big league club, as well as some players who finished in the minors, like Brandon Lockridge, Anthony Siegler, Craig Yoho, Tyler Black, also Carlos Rodriguez, and others. So there you go. There's lots of possibilities out there. Also includes pitcher Logan Henderson, who's eligible to return from the 60-day list October 3rd, right before the start of the division series. A player who doesn't meet the criteria can still be added to the roster if he was in the organization by August 31st and is replacing someone on the injured list who has already served the full term of the injured designation. But they don't have any obvious players, really, who fits that list. The big question is the Miz, right? Is the Miz going to make the postseason roster? We'll discuss that, give you some details. Don't go anywhere. It is the last day of September 2025. Glad to have you along on a Tuesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer.
Welcome back to the Tylo Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, now 22 minutes past the hour. Glad to have you along here on the last day of September, September 30th, a Tuesday. Aaron Zommer's on the board. Beautiful day across southwest Wisconsin, south central Wisconsin, basically all of Wisconsin. Going to be hot this week. Summer is a little Indian summer, as they say. And then finally, it sounds like by Saturday, perhaps fall will return to highs in the 60s in some parts of the state. So soak it up. If you're a summer person, if you're a baseball person, you're out there, those hot games this year during the summer at AmFam Field, enjoy it. I'm enjoying a little anticipation to this weekend when the Brewers kick off the National League Divisional Series against either the Padres or the Cubs. We'll see who comes through the wild card.
Although I do know, Todd, that you and I are both looking forward to cooler weather in that you're a big flannel guy.
I do. I enjoy good flannel. Yeah. Now, you can't really wear it this time of year.
Not really.
No, but, well, I should say, what is this, hot? But we'll see. We'll see. Looking forward to getting the flannel out. So here's the deal. We were talking here before the break. And by the way, in full disclosure, we pre-recorded today's show yesterday just because I'm helping out family stuff. Nothing major, but some family stuff. And Shauna will be live from Shauna on Wednesday and Thursday, tomorrow and Thursday. And so we're talking about the Brewers here and the run. And you can hear this on many of our fine stations on the Civic Media Radio Network, including WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, amongst others here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Jeff Levering, going to take you the rest of the way. Love him on the radio, by the way. So I'm talking about the roster. The postseason roster, and Pat Murphy, the Brewers manager, does not have to have that in until the day it starts or coming up later on this week on October 4th. So here's another story from the Milwaukee Journal predicting the Milwaukee Brewers 26-man roster for the National League Divisional Series by Todd Rozek and Kurt Hogg. Thanks to their top seeding in the playoff field, Brewers will have 5+ days to mull their roster for the National League Division Series before needing to get it locked in on October 4th. So how's it going to end up looking, they ask? Well, aside from maybe the final few spots on the bench and in the bullpen, the 26-man group appears to be pretty cut and dried at this point, with maybe the biggest question being, has Jacob Mizorowski, better known as the Miz, shown enough to be included in what will likely be a 9-man bullpen? The Brewers went into last year's wild card series against the New York Mets with 14 position players and 12 pitchers. And when asked what he thought the breakdown will be for this year's NLDS, manager Pat Murphy indicated it'll probably be the same. Quote, "I think that's it," unquote, he said of the 14-12 alignment. Quote, "With our pitching injuries right now, you'd be hard-pressed to go 11. You get an extra innings game, and you don't have enough length. You're on thin ice. Doesn't mean you can't skate good, but it's thin ice," unquote. I love Murphy's analogies like that. I think that's great, his stories. So here's kind of part of the way that the reporters, Todd Rozek and Rosiak and Kurt Hogg, break this down in terms of how they think it will all look. So starting pitchers, they say, Freddie Peralta, obviously, Quinn Priester, and Jose Quintana. Those are the three starters for the Brewers. Predicted. Relief pitching, they have Trevor McGill, Milwaukee's closer all season. McGill might see his role change after missing a month at the end of the season with a right flexor strain. Abner Uribe, Jared Koenig, Nick Mears, the Meerkat, they've got in. Aaron Ashby, the goggled wonder. I just like the look when he has those goggle glasses on. I think it's very intimidating, I think, for the, I don't know why, I just think so. DJ Hall, left-hander, was in a groove, but once again, injury struck. This time, the right oblique strain that sidelined him for 6 weeks. Like Ashby, Hall can provide length while also pitching on shorter bursts when right. Chad Patrick, they have down. They believe will be in the final rotation in the bullpen. Rob Straczynski, the career journeyman, gets the nod as the fourth lefty. And the final person, actually they had him third from last. The Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, despite having just one shaky relief appearance under his belt, the Miners, The Miz gets the nod because his stuff is simply too good to pass by. Now, can he dial in his command? That's what they ask. Do you agree with those pitching rosters, Zombies?
I think so. I'm especially excited to see Miz on there because he just has, I don't know, a lot of passion. And when he's dialed in, he really gets it. I know Pat Murphy has talked before about, you know, he might have struggled in early innings, but as he kept going, he hones it in and strikes people out. I mean,
I love how Murphy just kind of talks to him vicariously through the media, because you know that Miz and other people are listening to this stuff. A reporter said, well, what do you think on Sunday? Asked, because Miz went in for, what, 2-3 innings? And he went in with – Murph put him out there with the bases loaded on Sunday. And he ended up clearing the bases, but not by striking people. And so the reporter said, what do you think of Miz? And Murph just said it like it is. He said, didn't hold his water. Didn't hold his water. That's what Murph said of Miz. So, look, I these guys, these reporters, Todd Rosiak and Kurt Hogg, they follow this team a lot more every single day, more than I do. I'm going to trust, I think they're probably right. But boy, I think they'll, tell you how you see how he reacts, as my old broadcast partner, Kevin O'Connor, fond of saying, great potential for disaster. Not a disaster, a great interview. After this, don't go anywhere. Right now, farm news with Pam Yonke. It is Tuesday, September 30th, and you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now 35 minutes past the hour. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Been a while. We're into fall, or autumn, as some people like to say. Been a while since we checked in on Wisconsin's main streets, and no better person to help us do that than our next guest to join us here in studio, Sean Fedaplace, who is the National Campaign's Director of Main Street Action. Sean, how the heck are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. This is my favorite time of year. I get out to the orchards. I get out to places like Wonder State Coffee, which I know as a member. And it makes you feel better in, as Dan Schaefer would say, these discombobulating times, to know that there are great things happening on Wisconsin's main streets.
That's correct. Although I wish it was a little cooler so I could pop out the flannel. definitely exciting time of year. Football, you know, family time. It's really the best time of year.
It really is, and I hope people, in my opinion, it is one of, not, I guess, my personal favorite time to get out. There's so many great festivals going on, and it's when you get into, what, you know, I'm a two-time loser in a Republican primary for state assembly, but the two best things about doing that, one, it reconnected me with my family and close friends because they came out and gave so much time on the campaign. But also it took me to places. I grew up in Richland Center in southwest Wisconsin, but I was running the old 96 Assembly District the first time. And I never been to, or at least spent time, in some of these small towns and villages in Crawford and Vernon County. And you realize, I think there are small business people are American and Wisconsin heroes that get up every day and bake bread and brew beer and grind coffee, roast coffee, and do all the things that keep our communities going that at least I, at points in my life, have taken for granted.
For sure. And, you know, I really love those small towns, especially up in sort of the Vernon, Richland area, hanging over to Cashton. Mm-hmm. I've been lost many times late at night on those roads. But there's a lot of really great things happening. And I think that Viroqua is a good example because you have things like the Food Enterprise Center, mm-hmm. where you have a lot of small business owners who all make different kinds of things and they'll help each other out. And there's this level of solidarity that exists amongst those business owners, especially in those smaller towns. And it's up to all of us to make sure that they're able to stick around.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll spend more time on those individual businesses, hopefully here soon at a later date. But I wanted to bring you on in your role as National Campaign's Director for Main Street Action, which is looking a little bit more at the policy and political side of this. In fairness, we're taping this on the Friday before, this Tuesday, Congress is scheduled to come back into session. We'll see whether they could come to an agreement to keep the government open or not. But regardless whether they stay open or whether there is a government shutdown, there are some real life implications going on in Wisconsin businesses as to what happens in Washington, D.C. The narrative by my former party, MAGA, Republican Party, is that this is all about, quote unquote, undocumented, or their words, not mine, illegals getting healthcare benefits, which you and I both know simply doesn't happen. That is a false narrative. It's a flat out lie. And that's what they want to make this about. But Sean, explain what this is really about. And more importantly, or as importantly, particularly when it comes to healthcare, what are the real life implications to Wisconsinites?
So there's two major deadlines. The first is a lot of attention has been spent on cuts to Medicaid. However, most of that's going to be phased in over a couple of years because of ways that the state budget interacts with the federal government. The Affordable Care Act marketplace, which currently insures tens of millions of people all around the country, including many people here in Wisconsin, it is, you know, a product of the Affordable Care Act. The marketplace is a product of that. People get subsidies to be able to afford their health insurance. And there's been some progress made recently during the Biden administration with the Inflation Reduction Act and the Rescue Plan. They did make it quite a bit more affordable. There's still more work to do. But what the congressional Republicans did during their big, ugly, no good law that they negotiated is that they essentially gutted those subsidies, that health care, to pay for tax cuts. And the numbers are horrifying. So for a 60-year-old couple making 80 grand a year combined, so that's 40 grand each, which is below the national average, below the average in Wisconsin, their premiums will go up by $18,000 a year.
Jeez.
It's 75% on average. And so most folks listening to this, think about how much you pay for your health care every month and imagine that almost doubling. And so this is absolutely ridiculous. The projections are that 4 million people in the first year will lose coverage completely. Tens of millions of people will see their prices go up. And here in Wisconsin, just the ACA cuts, there's as many as 150,000 people will lose coverage. And so that's what we're trying to stop right now. And congressional Republicans and the president have both refused to negotiate. But because it's a budget bill, they need 60 votes. So they need to come to the table and negotiate over this.
Well, we hear this, the term thrown out, of course, is CR, continuing resolution, versus actually passing the budget cut. Is there a way that they could have fewer people get on board for a continuing resolution, or they still need that 60 when it comes to in the Senate?
They still need that 60 unless they get rid of the filibuster completely.
The nuclear option, as it's called.
Yeah, so. And that still seems unlikely at this point. Yeah. There's still some opposition even within the GOP on that. And so it really, in the end, the government right now, since this is being taped ahead of time, I'll actually be at the Capitol
as
folks are airing. There's both, Leader Jeffries, Leader Schumer, the congressional Democrats, they're trying to get the Republicans to come to the table to talk about this. And as of midnight tonight, we're going to be an effective government shutdown as of Tuesday. And so we hope to avoid that. We hope they come to the table between now and then. But it's also going to be very obvious, who shut down the government if it comes to that.
We're talking with Sean Fetteplace, the National Campaigns Director for Main Street Action. Glad to have you along here on this Tuesday. We record a couple of days ahead of time. We'll be back with a live show tomorrow. Sean, let's talk a little bit more about this healthcare side of it, because, I own my own a couple of different coffee shops here. I've gone years without having healthcare. And one of those times I was on a simple medication and I needed to go into the doctor to have it re-upped, the new prescription. I went in, I was in the office for less than 10 minutes. The doctor never laid hands on me, never checked anything, just had to basically talk to me for like 6-7 minutes, signed the prescription, walked out. And this was 8-10 years ago. The bill was $475 that I've had to pay out of pocket to meet with a doctor, and the prescription cost me $35. And so I think as I travel around Wisconsin, there's a lot of stories like that. And you're calling, and appropriately so, Affordable Care Act. A lot of people know it as Obamacare. And I think in some people's minds, that politicizes it. And the Republicans and MAGA and President Trump have used that in a negative connotation to write a false narrative. But I also know a lot of people in this state that voted for Donald Trump, who, if not for Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, I don't think it's overstating it by saying they'd be dead.
Yeah. We actually had a member, and I feel comfortable sharing this because she shared it publicly. Kitty Rose, she's the co-owner of Good Kind in Bayview in Milwaukee. She got a cancellation letter from Common Ground. This was, folks may have seen this in the news. I believe it was 11 counties that they canceled coverage in. And they canceled that coverage. You know, if you read through the between the lines of the cancellation letter, they talked about the national environment, trends. They didn't say the big, beautiful bill, but right. It's because if younger, healthier people get priced out, they'll just drop coverage. And then you're stuck with older, sicker people in the system, and it just becomes more expensive and not profitable at all for the insurance companies, so they cancel coverage. That's why typically they do it. And Katie got this cancellation letter, and then 2 days later found out that she had something that potentially could have been cancerous.
Wow.
So she had to go in, get surgery done. She actually came and spoke at an event with Senator Baldwin the very next day, which I did not push her to do. Mm-hmm. I was just like, take care of yourself, recover, all that. But she felt compelled to speak out because if she hadn't been insured when that happened, she may have not known.
Right.
And so that's, I think, really, really important for people to understand, is that while there's still a lot of work to do in terms of making healthcare more affordable, and certainly there's a lot of middlemen in the system, there's a lot of lack of transparency of pricing. There's a lot of reforms that could be done to make the healthcare system work better. But, you know, stripping healthcare away from people doesn't achieve that.
No, not at all. Now, while Sean was telling that great story, now I gotta go down, Sean. I was going through my wallet here. My wallet, it looks like a George Costanza wallet. It's way too much. But I still carry with me, even though I'm not on it anymore, as simply a reminder. Here's my Forward Health Badger Care card.
Nice.
That I was on that when I owned my coffee shop. And I think my premiums were, I don't know, $178, $180 a month for a very basic. But hey, if I would have had something catastrophic, it would have saved me financially. But to your point, there's a lot of people that have this card in their wallet, Sean, across Wisconsin. And if not for this, they would go bankrupt if they had a major healthcare thing. Talk about, the increase in premiums. People paying 100-something, 200-something, maybe for a family. I don't know if it's three. I don't have a family. But talk about this. Just the increase, if this doesn't get negotiated in Washington, if Republicans and Donald Trump continue this false narrative, how are people in Wisconsin going to be able to afford this?
I just want to note that the father of Badger Care was Tommy Thompson. Yes, yes. And so this is an issue that has been bipartisan before and should be. As far as the increases, so on average, if you look at more rural parts of the state, they're getting hit worst in terms of the cuts. And Representative Derek Von Orden's district in western Wisconsin, which is a beautiful part of the state. Mm-hmm. I love that part of the state. The average increase in prices for people buying coverage will be $5,000. Wow. And, you know, that's a huge expense. And it also is happening. So open enrollment starts November 1st, and the new rates go into effect January 1st. This is impending now. And so it's really important. And, you know, you hear congressional Republicans say, oh, well, we can negotiate this after the CR. They're going to run out of time. And by then, rates will be baked in, essentially. The insurance companies will already increase the rate. And that's the thing to know, too, is not just the premiums going down, but because of impacts of the big, ugly bill, the underlying cost of the insurance is also going up. So it's going in both directions, which will make it even worse. And so, you know, I would just ask people to think about, how would you afford another $5,000 expense per year? You know, that's what, $450-ish a month. You know, I know I certainly couldn't afford that. And I think a lot of folks couldn't either.
I couldn't agree more. I'll tell you, if this had happened while I was a small business owner, I would have just rolled the dice yet again and said, I can't pay that. How do I keep my electricity on in my apartment? How do I have even, you know, generic groceries with food costs going up right now? I mean, people are going to have, we hear this all the time. People call in, I'm making a choice between healthcare and food. And if what happens, as you described, happens, in my opinion, agree or disagree, there's going to be people just saying, I'm going to go without healthcare.
Right. And one thing I would say is that during the negotiations around the big, ugly law, otherwise known as the big, beautiful bill, I refuse to call it that. Representative Van Orden in a town hall, a teletown hall, said that he would oppose the measure if it cut rural health care. He said that in black and white, and, you know, he lied. Yeah. And so ultimately, it's up to all of us to make sure people know this is happening, that we do have a chance to stop it, but it's going to require everyone telling their story over the course of the next week.
We're going to come back, talk more about Main Streets, about healthcare and the impacts on Wisconsinites with Sean Fetteplace, National Campaign's Director for Main Street Action. Stay with us. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show for a Tuesday across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Yeah, freedom. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead. And having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. On this Tuesday, glad to have you along with us as our guest this half hour here in studio. Always love it when that happens. Sean Fetteplace, the National Campaign's Director of Main Street Action. At least that's, you have a lot of hats you wear, Sean.
I do. I have three. And maybe a couple more. Dad, husband.
Right.
And Packer fan.
Packer fan, absolutely. And we're recording this on the Friday before, so we don't know. But let's hope that Micah Parsons takes some revenge out on Jerry World in Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, I nothing against Dak, but Jerry Jones, yeah, it would be nice to get the chickens to come home to roost for him a little bit.
100%.
Yeah.
Speaking of the chickens coming home to roost, before the break there, talk a little bit about the implications of what's going on in Washington, D.C. today on Tuesday. For the listeners who are listening today, I know you're going to be out in D.C. today on this Tuesday regarding the government, potential government shutdown, the implications. And before the break, you talked about Derek Van Orden of the 3rd Congressional District, who had pledged and said that he would not vote for something, legislation that would hurt rural Wisconsinites when it came to health care, and his actions speak louder than his thousands of tweets. Simply not true.
That's right. And, you know, I think that ultimately he has talked a lot about that it hasn't cut health care. It's just nonsense. And in fact, Speaker Johnson said that they're not coming into session, that they're essentially not doing their job. So I don't know where he is at the moment, but he's probably back home continuing to sit on his phone instead of meeting with voters. I have to say, I would be very annoyed if I was his campaign manager.
Right.
Or Speaker Johnson.
Chief of staff. Other folks.
Yeah. I just like, I don't know what that, other than tweeting all day, I don't know what the guy does. Right. And, you know, we at Main Street Action, we joined an organization called Battleground Alliance that's focused heavily on holding Representative Van Orden accountable for his vote to gut health care. And so we actually have a billboard up right now on the north side of La Crosse. We have digital ads running as well with people's personal stories. Some of you, your listeners might know Corrine Hendrickson, mm-hmm. who we actually brought on as a contractor to do some work with us over in that district to get people's stories on health care and ultimately just make sure that he's hearing from the people of his district. You know, many, many people, both this week and in the weeks ahead, are going to be getting cancellation notices. They're going to be getting rate increase letters. And it sure would be nice to deliver those to him because he's the one who made that happen.
I love this strategy because I think it's fair. And I realize in politics, not everything can always be fair. I think this strategy is fair because it's taking real people's stories and saying, look, this is campaign hyperbole, to use a Joe Biden word. This is real. These are real people's stories. And they're tragic. And we're seeing this in agriculture now with soybean farmers. Other people in agriculture say, wait, time out. I voted for this guy because he was going to make it better. And now he's talking about approving subsidies for me because it's actually worse. And we all know what happened in Trump 1.0 in the first term when that happened. Now we're moving into, and I hate to say this because we're just into October, but yes, it's the holidays are upon us. If you look at the displays, people are going to be buying holiday gifts. And now, because of the Trump tariffs, prices are going up.
K kids' costumes are going to be more expensive. You know, you look at the amount of things in the holiday season are going to be a lot more expensive. A lot of the reason why tariffs haven't shown up in the economic data as much as maybe people expected is because a lot of people were selling existing inventory. They were selling through that. They were trying to absorb the price increase, and that dam's starting to break, so to speak. And so as we enter that season, which is the really important time for a lot of these small businesses to be able to break even for the year, you know, they're seeing their prices go up. You're going to see your prices go up. And ultimately, you know, when you talk about the soybean farmers, China's not buying those soybeans. And there's a talk now of bailing out the farmers. Well, just don't do the tariffs.
Right.
Like, just, right. I mean, it's honestly like if you talked with an economist worth their salt, that doing tariffs and then giving a subsidy to that same person for the impact of those tariffs is literally the worst possible economic policy you can have. Because it creates all sorts of bad incentives. And, you know, these farmers not only are not able to sell their product, but their health insurance is being cut. Their pharmaceutical prices, Trump just announced 100% tariff on that. If you need to get, now it's apparently like bathroom furniture and stuff and like armoires. There was some announcement yesterday. And the thing that's really terrible about the tariffs, other than price increases, it's ripe for corruption.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you've got folks who are donating, you got folks who are slick lobbyists in D.C., you know, they can go to the White House and try to get an exemption. And that's what happened with like Zuckerberg and Apple and a lot of those companies. And so it's really bad. And ultimately, for the American people and for folks heading into the holiday season, I would encourage everyone to patronize your small businesses and understand that they're going through this just as much as you are.
That's a great point. Only about a minute and a half left here. But it is secular, right? Like when you buy from a local business, those are the same people who are sending their kids to the local public schools. They're volunteering sometimes for fire departments or first responders in our communities. And those dollars do keep the community going. So if and where we can, I second staying away from the big box store. Pay a couple of extra bucks at your local small business because it'll come back tenfold.
Exactly. And I'll have a few holiday recommendations.
Please, a minute left. Go ahead.
I'm addicted to Fortune Favors nuts. They're very, very good. They're based here in Madison.
Yes. Because they changed the name.
Yeah, they did. It was Nutcrack. And they
Which
decided,
I love that.
I love. Yeah, they're just like, oh, maybe this is a little bit more of a better fit. You know, coffee's a good
thing.
So Wonder State coffee is great. Definitely patronize your local restaurants. Ahan is a personal favorite here. Is an absolutely amazing place. And just like go to the places that you, if you're thinking about going out there and going to the mall or going to Best Buy or whatever, not to sound like a hater, but just don't. Like go to those local businesses that need your help and be willing to pitch in a few more bucks. And I would just say for your listeners, Ray Gun T-shirts just opened a location on State Street. They are an amazing company and they're union printed. And definitely check them out.
Love it. Sean Fetteplace, Main Street Action National Campaigns Director. Thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure. Stay tuned. Hour number two is straight ahead, including our green and gold text to win contest. It's the All Ball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.